This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
Nah, don't listen to him. The phone lines don't work. So we are on Facebook Live, facebook.com/WESB1075. You can comment your questions there. And we've had several emails this season, and you can add to it, garden@WESB.com, if you'd like us to read your email there and have the Master Gardener, Bob Harris, give you advice that way. And without further ado, good morning, Bob.
Well, good morning, Igor.
Okay, what do we have today to talk about?
I've brought some show and tell again, but first I wanted to start out with telling people in your yard, one of the best things you can do, because it's, you know, still planting season. Matter of fact, in Bradford, it's planting season from April to November, December even.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the best things you can do to your yard is plant a tree. It's going to add so much to your landscape. Number one, it's going to help cool that spot. Maybe cool your house if it's closer to the house. Cool an area for your pet if you let them out. It's going to add beauty to your house, especially if you get a flowering semi-dwarf tree, which a good one. That one of my favorites is the crab apple, the flowering crab apples.
It always adds curb appeal, right?
It does indeed.
It beautifies your house and the neighborhood.
Yes, and it's going to help support pollinators, birds, and beneficial bugs. So planting a tree is an excellent, excellent idea in just about anybody's yard.
Is there a rule of thumb that you can go by to, you know, the distance from your house or, you know, away from other things like garages and things?
Depending on the tree, yes. There are trees that stay kind of dwarf or semi-dwarf, you know, growing 20 feet or less. Those can be planted just about anywhere. And then there are the bigger oaks and maples, so on, that you want to get a good distance away from your house, electric lines, phone lines, any underground utilities. You want to stay away from those areas. But those smaller decorative trees, yeah, it's just anywhere you want.
Because I'm running into a problem where my mother-in-law's house has an apple tree that they, in my opinion, planted too close to the house.
Okay.
Because they're all the apples are dropping out on the roof.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that can be a bad thing. Yeah.
And, we're getting critters and things like that. You know, the groundhogs are enjoying their...
Oh, sure.
Their applesauce and whatever. So, unfortunately, I got to chop that thing down.
Yeah, it's either that or a lot of pruning. Now, apple trees are great because you get to eat the apples. Wildlife eats them. They flower nicely. But yeah, when you're close to the house, that's going to mean a lot of pruning. And it's probably going to mean pruning just about every other year.
I mean, it's like 5 feet from the house.
Oh, that's real close.
Maybe 8 feet. But yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
I don't know why they would do that. Oh. It's such a wonderful tree.
Well, when you
and healthy,
yeah. When you first get that tree, you know, it's probably that you're going to plant. It's probably just a little dinky thing, and that looks like a good idea. And we've all made that mistake, which I say, you know, you can control it by a lot of hard pruning, you want to do, take it down.
It breaks my heart because it's such a nice tree. It throws nice shade a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's by a window and. It has to go.
And I'm glad you brought that up, throwing the shade, because a lot of people will notice that once you remove a tree, especially, you know, a larger tree, that all of a sudden you change the environment quite a bit.
Yeah, it gets a little warmer, does it?
Yeah. And your grass will change too, because your grass is adjusted to growing underneath that tree in the shade area. It's probably some of the greenest grass you have, but once you remove that tree, all of a sudden the grass is going to struggle. Maybe it's going to start heating a section of your house that you never thought of. Maybe it's going to change wind patterns in your house too.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, and can make a lot of changes. But by the same token, a large tree close to the house can cause damage, you know, by ruining your roof siding, causing a little bit of dampness in one area.
I was going to say, I see a lot of that, like too much shade and dampness, and then you get, you know, some moss on the roof and things like that.
So it's a real good idea that, and there are apple trees that stay dwarf that won't grow. I don't know what tree you have, but if it's an older tree, it probably can grow 30, 40 feet. You know,
it's a full mature tree that hasn't been trimmed or anything. It's pretty tall.
They
look and taste like Granny Smith apples.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we're thinking that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know, it came with the house. So.
Came with,
Who knows?
But there are a lot of those apple trees that never grow over 10 foot tall even, so they're really no problem putting them wherever you want.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But nope, this thing's a full-blown, you know, 40, 50-foot monster. And, oh, well.
But still, one of the best things you can do for a yard is plant a tree.
Yeah.
In the right spot, of course. You'll attract a lot of wildlife, add value to your home beauty. It's neat to watch an apple tree go through the seasons. So, that's one of the things you should think about.
What's the best kind of tree for like a real rocky soil?
Rocky soil. Wow.
Yeah, because mine is just it's dirty fill.
Oh, you know? Okay.
Like concrete's under there. It's ridiculous.
Of course, you can always plant a tree if you have real poor soil. You don't want to amend it. You know, change the soil. You can always just dump a load of soil and plant a tree on a mound. As a matter of fact, a lot of us, that's kind of preferable way to plant anything is to just add a mound of soil and then plant on that mound so the plant will have a good base to grow in.
Yeah, but eventually the roots are going to have to go beyond that little mound.
Yeah, they will be able to, the roots get older, they will be able to penetrate just about any soil. Yeah, probably everybody's seen pictures of a tree growing on a huge rock even. You know, they can survive that tough situation.
Okay.
You know, which I'm glad you brought up, because I brought a first few things that, and I'm going to have to stand up and get it closer. You
brought some Ziploc bags.
Yeah. What's These are soils, on? Really.
Oh.
And I want to show you the difference. I hope this comes through on the camera.
All right. So we have facebook.com/WESB1075. Bob's holding up some different soil samples.
You can see one. I'm backwards in there. One is really dark and one is really light. So I'll start with the light one. This is clay soil. Mm. And that's how you can tell, and which is real common around Bradford, real light color, and no plant really is going to like clay soil. Now, people are going to say, well, what about our forest? You know, well, in the forest, there's always dropping leaves and sticks and so on, so it's making a lot of compost, changing that soil so the tree can survive. But if you're out there going to plant a nice perennial garden or a tree, this is something you don't want to see, but it can be corrected.
Now, describe what the color is and what the texture is.
Okay, it's a real light brown. How close can I get?
As close as you can walk.
Yeah, maybe I'll open a bag, show inside.
Well,
even.
Just describe it for our radio friends.
Okay,
too.
Real light tan. And what happens with clay soil, clay is real, real small particles. And so they, when they do get wet, they hold on to that moisture through electrical, the positive and negative ions. They hold on to that water for a long, long time, except the very surface of the soil. And this is what happens to a lot of people with clay soil. The very surface of it dries out quickly. But as you go down deeper and deeper, it holds on to that water for a long period of time because positive and negative ions cause that moisture to stick to that clay particle. So you have to correct it. If you have that real light soil, don't go planting in it right away. Probably going to have some kind of failure. So you have to amend it. And amend it a great deal until you end up with soil that looks like this.
Nice
real
and dark.
Dark looking soil. That's good soil with lots of compost in it, leaves, sticks, twigs. None of that's going to harm it. It doesn't have to be like powder. Matter of fact, chunky soil is even better. For your garden. So that's what you want to accomplish.
Like little mini twigs and things in
yeah,
there. And...
Yeah, twigs, chunks of leaves, all kinds of little things in there. Now that, it causes a lot of air spaces too in between the soil particles. And like you've heard me say, plants need air as much as they need water, even the roots. And so that air space helps the plant breathe easier and the soils to dry out, because if you keep soil wet for a very long period of time, they start to get bacteria and a mold in it and fungus. And of course that smothers the roots. Then they can't get the air they need, and then they start having them problems. So I really wanted to show them the different soils, because I know a lot of people in Bradford are going to end up when they start digging with a clay soil. So be prepared to start amending it. One of my favorite ways is lots of peat moss, compost if you have it, old grass clippings, old leaves. It just goes on and on. Old sawdust, old wood chips, even fine ground mulch. And a lot of people will say, well, the mulch is going to rob nitrogen from the soil as it deteriorates. And yes, it is. So if you are going to use mulch, and I have many, many times to amend the soil when peat moss or compost wasn't available. So just add a little extra fertilizer, knowing that as that mulch decomposes, it robs nitrogen from the soil.
There's always a workaround, huh?
Yeah, there is. So I even really like to use mulch, especially old mulch, as a soil amendment. So that's
just to make it more airy, like
make it more airy and make it so it's not so much clay, because again that clay, you know, grabs onto that moisture and holds it for a long, long period of time, even though the surface looks dry. And like I say, a lot of people get confused with that because they'll look at the soil or the clay soil. The very surface is real dry, so they'll water. When indeed, a few inches down, it's soaked.
I see.
So you're starting to harm the plant.
Gotcha.
So if you do have clay soil and you haven't amended it, but you got plants in there, before you water it, maybe it's a good idea to kind of dig down a little bit and see if that's damp down there. And then if you're going to water, just give it a little sprinkling on the surface. Don't go soaking it, because you can do more damage than good that way. There's notes floating all around here, isn't there?
I just noticed this one. So anyway, we're going to take a short break.
Okay.
And thank Worth W. Smith, our sponsor, and then we'll be right back in 30 seconds. And we have some more things to show the camera and more tips from Master Gardener Bob Harris. It's The Gardening Show on B107.5 and Facebook Live and WESB.com.
At Worth W. Smith Company, you'll find what you need when it comes to shovels, rakes, pruners, and all sorts of other gardening and landscaping tools. Why take the chance of getting splinters from old dried-up cracked handles or the frustration of fighting with the rusty chipped cutting edge on your loppers? Their staff is always eager to lend a helping hand with getting you what you need for the project ahead. Stop and see them today at any of their 6 locations in Bradford, Olean, Salamanca, Cuba, and Eldred. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show, B107.5 FM, AM 1490. And, hey, we're on demand, always, Bob.
All right.
Yeah, if they if you missed any of the episodes this season or previous seasons, it's all online for you at WESB.com. So what else are we talking about today?
Okay, so a little show and tell. I just picked this right outside the radio station.
What's that?
This is... Holy
it's a
man.
Weed.
Yeah, it's a weed to most people. Goldenrod. So I'll get a little closer. So I wanted to explain a little bit about goldenrod. It's pretty, the yellow. And a lot of people say, well, the goldenrod's blooming, and now I'm going to get sneezes and allergy and all that. Not with goldenrod.
Really?
Like a lot of plants, goldenrod has very heavy pollen. So usually when the pollen is released, it falls straight to the ground. It's the ragweed that has really fine pollen that floats around and gives you allergies or makes you sneeze a lot. Not the goldenrod. So the goldenrod is not all that bad, although it can overtake an area very quickly because it can multiply extremely quick.
Yeah, but it does look nice.
It is, yeah. And there are you can buy dwarf goldenrods to put in your garden because it is pretty. It's yellow, and it survives our conditions very, very well. And like I say, multiplies quite quickly, too. So that's goldenrod, although it's easy to get rid of, too. You just got to reach way down on the stem when the soil is kind of damp. And pull, you'll see you'll get roots and all because they have a nice sturdy stem. But they do support a lot of pollinators, so the goldenrod is not a bad plant, really. Mm-hmm.
But like you said, that could overtake an area, though?
It can overtake an area.
So if you don't like a lot of yellow,
yeah.
I guess
yeah.
that's the only bad thing, right?
Yeah, a lot of yellow, a lot of tall. And then come fall when it starts to die back, you know, it can be kind of ugly, but just a nice weed whacking or a mower, you can mow it right down. You're not going to harm the plant at all.
And how tall do those get? Those are pretty tall, aren't they?
Yeah, they can get four foot tall around in that area with no trouble at all. But like I say, there are varieties that stay dwarf that only get a foot and a half tall.
Mm-hmm. What else did you bring here?
So, these plants here, I'm going to get up again. This one here is called Monarda or Bee Balm or Oswego Tea.
Oh, figure it out and just give me one name.
Bee Balm.
It looks like, what, a purple flower on there?
Yeah, they'll come in other colors, though, too. You can get red and you can get pink and even some white. But this is a terrific pollinator plant. And it really enjoys a little bit of sun. This is not something you want to plant in full sun because it likes cool, damp soil. So not clay soil. It's got to be a real good amended soil. And a great, great perennial, come back every year. And a great one for supporting the pollinators. The moss, the butterflies, the hummingbirds. Even some of the bees will be really well attracted to it. And you can see it blooms about this time of year.
How tall does that get?
Depending on the variety. You know, there are varieties that will get 4 or 5 foot tall. This variety here is only like a foot to a foot and a half tall.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of a dwarf one. So this one would probably be recommended for a lot of the gardens here in Bradford. So that's Bee Balm.
And does that have a scent?
Yeah, it does. A very nice scent. And that's why Oswego tea, a lot of Native Americans would.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I just took a whiff of that.
I shouldn't have got my nose that close to it. I tickled my nostrils, and it was like, wow.
A lot of Native Americans would use it as a tea for health purposes.
Yeah. Wow. I like that.
Yeah. They're highly scented. So that makes it even better.
That does smell like a flavored tea.
Okay. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah. Another one, I've shown some of these before, echinacea or coneflower. And they come in a lot of different colors, too, and different heights.
Okay. So you have an orange?
Yeah.
Orangey kind of one that you have today?
Yeah, orange, and this one is called Sombrero. Sombrero. It's kind of a new variety, only been out a few years, and has become very popular because it is a really different type of orange.
It is bold.
Yeah, it's very bold.
And with just the shape of it, too, like on the top of the flower, there's that little spiky thing.
Big button-like on top, yeah. But great, great, great plant for pollinators and will multiply. Not out of hand, but it will multiply. But one of the secrets to helping it multiply is leaving a couple of the flower heads on through the winter. They'll kind of fall apart. Of course, the birds will try to feed on the seeds in there. It's great for the birds, too, not just bees and butterflies. Some of those seeds will drop to the ground and begin to grow, and you'll have more and more plants. Now, if you don't want more and more plants, when all the flowers are spent or done, then you can just clip it all off and take it out of the garden, maybe drop those flower heads somewhere where you want to add some, and they'll become new plants. It takes a couple years. It's not going to bloom that first year from seed, but it will bloom after a couple years.
So these are all perennials?
These are all perennials,
that you brought today?
I forgot to mention that.
Okay. That's real nice variety you brought today. And this one is... what is that?
That's Coreopsis.
Okay.
Coreopsis.
A lot of green on that one.
Or some people call it tick seed. I don't know why it's called tick seed, but it is. And Coreopsis is going to come in different shades of yellow, come in a red, come in a pink, as far as I know.
I was going to say the tall, I'm going to describe it for the radio. The tall yellow flowers are coming out of a large kind of thick...
Yeah.
Green, I don't know, it almost looks like grass.
Yeah, almost,
With leaves coming off of it.
And this one is the leafy variety. There is one that is a fern leaf, has almost needle-like leaves rather than big flat leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good one for pollinators and just a pretty plant, well-behaved. You can see the flowers come way up above the foliage, so they really show off real well. Let me get closer there to show you the flower there. Wow, quit shaking, Bob.
You're not shaking. The flowers are dancing. That's
yeah. Yeah, okay. So that's Coreopsis, a great, great perennial for the Bradford. All of these are great perennials for the Bradford gardens.
And do the orange ones or the yellow ones have a scent?
No, okay. They don't.
Just the purple one.
Not to us.
See, but... I don't remember the names. I know colors. The purple one, the yellow.
But to the pollinators, they do have a scent.
Yeah.
And, of course, the color attractant, which, with the Coreopsis, I'm going to pick off a flower here to get real close. This always... really kind of tickles me. Flowers have developed a way. You can see on the outer edge, it's a yellow, and then as you go inside, it's red. Now, that's really a signal for a bee, because bees are kind of, especially bumblebees, are kind of clumsy flyers. And so it's marking an area where the reward is.
Put it up. Yeah, you can... You can put it up there right up close. Right up close. Yeah.
Oh, man, I can get close, huh?
Uh-huh.
Red on in the center, yellow on the outer side, showing the bee exactly where the nectar is.
It's a bullseye.
Yeah, it's a bullseye.
Mm-hmm.
So the bee can land right there. It gives the bee a
little target.
A target.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it'll go for the nectar. And by going for the nectar, it'll get some of the pollen rubbed off. And when it goes to the next flower, they transfer that pollen. So it's a good way for that flower to change its pollen from flower to flower, ensuring that that next plant's going to be fertilized, make seeds, and new plants eventually. One of my favorites is the rhododendron. You can really see it in there, how the outside petals are, they call it a runway.
Oh, okay.
Runway.
That makes sense.
The outside of the flower is a different color than the inside. They're even speckled. And as you get closer to the center, the speckles are closer and smaller together. So it really gives the bee a sign this way to the nectar.
It's like a neon arrow. This way, stupid.
Yeah.
Fly over here.
And if you ever really wanted to, you can sit there and watch, especially on a rhododendron because they have big flowers, watch the bees land, and they directly go right to the center because of that runway marking mm-hmm. for them, showing them where to find the nectar and, of course, pick up some pollen in your trip there and transfer it to the next plant.
All right. Do you have any parting words? We're just about out of time.
Yeah, I want to stress that again. You know,
yeah.
Light-colored soil, that's probably in our area going to mean it's clay. Not good for plant growth. Must be amended. Try to get it to look very dark, even when it's dry. These soils are dry. Even when it's dry, it still should be dark. Then you'll have a lot more success with your plants that way.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The Gardening Show again, and sponsored by Worth W. Smith. And again, on demand, anytime at WESB.com. We'll see you next week.
Okay.
All right. It's The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM.